Bible? Okay, if you brought a Bible, you might like to open it, and you could read it on the screen, but just open your Bible. It's a good exercise to have. At in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5, and you can see the reference there on the screen, Matthew chapter 5, and we'll read verses 13 and 14 and a couple of other verses as well. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13 down to verse 16 we'll actually read, but our focus will be on verses 13 and 14, salt and light. Pour on the salt and turn on the light. Okay, Matthew chapter 5 verse 13 down to 16. You are the salt of the earth. Can somebody tell me who's speaking, who was speaking these words that we're reading now? Jesus was speaking. Yeah, if you've got a Bible that has the words of Jesus in red, well, that makes it even easier for you, doesn't it? But Jesus was speaking, and this is part of what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. He says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So that's where our the idea comes of the salt. And we just want to make a few comments
on those two issues tonight from these
words of Jesus. Now, it's really important as we think about this issue, I'll just show you the studies there and the workshops that we're planning. Tonight we're just going to have this introductory study, pour on the salt and turn on the light. And then the next study, why do things the hard way? The third one, you can do it. And the fourth one, your king needs you. And then we have three workshops. The first one, how salty are you? The second, how bright are you? We'd all like to think we're bright, don't we? How bright are you? And the third one, who has the answers? So the workshops are set around three questions. And it doesn't matter if you don't remember that tonight, because you'll be confronted by those issues in the workshops. And there'll be something for you to do in those workshops. It won't be just me doing all the work. Alright, so one of the things that's really important is, as we think about the whole issue of being salt and light, is that we are something that matters. And that's what Jesus was saying. He didn't say, you know, I want you to try to be salt, and I want you to try to be light. He said, that's what you are. And you know, one of the things as we think about evangelism is we need to be the sort of people that are going to attract people to Jesus. It's no good us going out there with this message of the gospel, this message of good news, and we're the sort of people that really turn people off Christianity and turn people off church and turn people off Jesus. We need to be the sort of people who attract people to Jesus. Now, this is a song that I came across, and I don't know too many songs, even though I probably know more from this era than more modern ones. But if you can see there from Wikipedia, it says that this song, Jacob's Ladder, is a 1986 song written by Bruce Hornsby and his brother John Hornsby that was recorded by Huey Lewis and the News and became a number one hit on the Billboard Hot 100 in 1987. Some of you weren't even born in 1987, were you? Set in Birmingham, Alabama, the song marries the biblical image of Jacob's ladder to someone who rejects proselytizing evangelists and is instead struggling to get through life one day at a time. And I want to show you just one little segment, couple of lines in this song. And the song says this, that little section there says, sing along, send some money, join the chosen few. Well, mister, the response is, I'm not in a hurry and I don't want to be like you. You see, sometimes we go out there with this really good story about Jesus and his love, about God and heaven and all that sort of thing, and people look at us and they say, hey, I don't want to be like you. And that's what this person is saying in this song. They're saying, listen, this preacher guy comes along and he's telling us all about heaven and how to be a Christian, but he looks at this guy and he says, I don't want to be like that. And I've heard people say that. If that's Christianity, I don't want it. If that person's a Christian, I ought to be like that. Just the other day, our daughter was telling us that a neighbour of theirs was talking to her, and she said, you know, the people up in the End House, they go to such and such a church in Bundaberg, and, you know, they're supposed to be Christians, and they're always yelling at the kids, and they swear at the kids, and I say, I'll never go near that church. You see, this lady was saying, I don't want to be like her. She says she's a Christian, she goes to church and all that. I don't want to be like that, exactly like this song says. Have a look at this. That's not me, okay? That's not me. I've lost weight since then. I came across this great weight loss program. If you'd like to try it, I can give you the exclusive rights. Now, would you take this weight loss program from this guy? Would you say, yeah, man, I've got to have that. Look what it can do for you. Look what it can do for me. I mean, that guy wouldn't be able to sell a weight loss program, would he? Huh? What do you reckon? Huh? No, I don't think he would. I wouldn't buy a weight loss program off him. I mean, if Andrew came along to me and said, I used to be 135 kilograms, and I've got this really great weight loss program, man, I'd be sitting down with him till midnight tonight finding out all about it. I mean, but this guy here, no, I wouldn't take any weight loss program from him. I couldn't learn much from him, I don't think. I could show him a thing or two. Now, you know, as Christians, we have to be careful that what we say to people and what we profess actually matches up with people that people are looking at. That is really important. That is really fundamental. That's really basic. You see, it's about character, not a course. It's people, not performance. It's who we are, not what we do. You know, you can go and do a course, and you could introduce people to a course. We use a course in our church called LifeWorks. It's a 10-week course where you invite people to a dinner, and you share a dinner with them, and you share an evangelistic presentation, and you sit down in small discussion groups, and you talk about the presentation. You know, we haven't run that. We didn't run that this year, because we were becoming concerned as a leadership in the church that we were starting to trust in the course, LifeWorks, instead of having our trust in God and his message, the gospel. We felt that we were starting to say, oh, well, all we've got to do to get people saved is run this course. Because it has been a blessing, and a lot of people have been saved and have been baptized and are going on for the Lord who were saved through this program or through this course. But I think as a church, we started to trust in the course. And we started to think, yeah, run LifeWorks again and we'll get some new converts. And so we decided we weren't going to run it this year. And we probably won't run it next year. Because we want everybody to understand that sharing your faith and sharing God's good news, the gospel, is not a course. It's about the sort of character that we are. As we present godliness and Christ-like qualities in our community with our friends and our colleagues, that's what's going to make the difference, not just doing a course. It's people, not performance. It's who we are, not what we do. And that's what Jesus said to these people. He said, you are the salt. That's what you are. And as Christians, we need to understand that that's what we are. We are salt. And we are the light. If you are a believer, if you're a Christian, Jesus would say to you again tonight, you are the salt. You are the light. It's not something you will become. It's not something that you need to work at. That's what he's made you. And he has left you here in this world as the salt and the light. And we plan to explore that a little over this week and even in the first workshop. Now, this is rather stating the obvious, isn't it? Salt is meant to be salty, and a light is meant to shine. Now you might say, Phil, why did you waste a slide putting that up there? We all know that. But somehow or other, as Christians, we often miss that. So that's why I wasted a slide, if you like. Because I think we need to remember that salt is meant to be salty. And that's what Jesus was saying here in this passage. He said, basically, he said, salt is meant to be salty. He said, if salt loses its flavour, it's not salt anymore. It's not what it's supposed to be. And we as Christians need to remember that as salt, we're meant to be salty, and as light, we're meant to shine. We're meant to have an effect. And in our first workshop, we want to explore this and as far as the salt is concerned, and then the second workshop, what it means to be a light. How salty are you? How bright are you? You see, both salt and light can have a negative effect. Think of it this way. Let me tell you a little incident that happened to me. I used to be a teacher in a secondary school in Brisbane at one stage, and at the end of the year, we had a celebration with the Year 12 students who were graduating, who were finishing secondary school. And I'd been teaching a Year 12 graphics class that year, and so I was part of this little party at the end of the year with the Year 12 students. And one of the girls that I taught in the graphics class, in the senior graphics class, she came up and she said, "Oh, Mr. Thomas," they used to call you by your surname those days, "Mr. Thomas, could I make you a coffee?" I said, "Oh, that'd be lovely." And I thought, "Wow, this is really nice, you know." And away she went, she made me a coffee. And she brought it back to me and she handed it to me, and there wasn't a hint of anything on her face. I just accepted it from her and thanked her very much. I took one sip and I almost threw it all over her. You know what she'd done? She'd put three or four, or maybe more, spoons of salt in the coffee. And it was horrible. It was horrible. You see, salt can have a negative effect. Have you ever been driving along the highway, those of you who drive, and it's a wet night, and it's pouring rain, the wipers are on high speed, and a car comes towards you, and they've got their spotties on. And they don't dim them. And they're coming towards you. You can't see a thing. Light can have a negative effect. I mean, light, it can be a really positive thing. It's a good thing. But light can have a negative effect. And you drivers know that. Somebody comes towards you with their spotties on a wet night. And man, you're just about ready to run them off the road without even trying. It can have a negative effect. And Christians can have a negative effect. Sad to say, Christians can have a negative effect. Just as salt can, and light can. Have a look at a few things here. The confrontational Christian. You know, these are the sort of Christians that they pull up alongside somebody at the traffic lights. Now, you don't have traffic lights in Auburn, Alba, do you? But if you happen to go to a casino or somewhere else, you've got some traffic lights, and somebody pulls up alongside you, they wind down the window and they yell out, "Do you know you're going to hell if you don't trust Christ?" You know, they're the confrontational type, and they just go loony and drive off, you know. I mean, that's right. They're sort of people that are just in your face, and they're not real, you know. They're just so confrontational, and they're aggressive, and that sort of, you know, that has a negative effect. You know, we've got to be wise. Another sort of Christian is the conceited, you know, a conceited Christianity. You know, these are the people that they're just sort of so good. They are so holy. And you could never, ever be as good as they are. They are so full of themselves. And they're so righteous. And they just turn people off left, right and centre. You know, some of your friend says, "Oh man, a great game of a great time at the footy on Sunday. You shouldn't be going to the football on Sunday." You know, "Oh, we'll give you a real serve," you know, and you go, "Oh, come on." I mean, this conceited sort, you know, I'm so good, I'm self-righteous, and everybody else is just mud, you know. The conceited Christianity, negative, negative, negative. And then there's the cosmetic Christian, you know, the hypocrite. And it's just all a veneer. And everybody knows they're not real. You know, what they say and the way they look is not translated into reality. It's not translated into a real lifestyle. And you don't see the character of a Christian there. It's just cosmetic. It's just what they put on. You know, that holy sort of a look that people put on. And you know, that almost an arrogance, but it's a hypocrisy. The cosmetic Christianity. It's all negative. All negative. Well, it's good to know that there's some positive Christians. It's good to know that salt and light can have a positive effect and not just a negative effect. And I'm going to just finish up with this. What are some of the things about positive Christianity that's attractive? Christianity that will attract people? Well, it's a Christianity that's costly, a Christianity that is sacrificial. You know, people realize and people respond to Christians who have a sacrificial or a costly Christianity. They are prepared to go the extra mile. They are prepared to go the distance as a Christian. And even though it costs them, they're prepared to go out of their way. They're prepared to extend themselves. And it costs them something. That's the sort of Christianity that's attractive. The compassionate Christians. These are the sort of people that demonstrate mercy in reality to people round about them. This has a positive effect on people. Let me just tell you a brief story, and this is very recent. Back in Bundaberg, about 4 weeks ago, it was our final kids club for the year on a Thursday night. And a couple of kids turned up at kids club that hadn't been before because their mum and had just moved into the just across the road a little bit, and these kids turned up at kids club for the final night, for the sort of the party break up sort of night. And they went home and they told their mum they had such a great time that the next Sunday night their mum turned up at church for the service on the Sunday night. And she's a lady about 28 years of age, and 28 years of age, she has four boys, and she turned up at church. And Adele, my wife, got to talk to her, and a couple of other people talked to her, and anyway, she came on the next Sunday night, and we have somebody who works in the church as a pastoral care coordinator, and he contacted her during the week, and found out a little bit about her, and so on, and she came along again, and it's a bit of a long story, but eventually, just the Sunday before we left, she actually, in a roundabout way, contacted somebody from the church and said, look, we're having a really bad time. They were actually living with her mother-in-law, and the mother-in-law has a medical condition and she shouldn't touch alcohol, and she had been drinking and she'd got violent and abusive, and she was belting these little kids and giving her a hard time, and they'd locked themselves in the room and they hadn't had anything to eat for lunch. They just didn't let themselves out, and eventually the lady locked the kids in the room and ran off and got a phone message through, and Brian went around and picked them up and brought them along to church on the Sunday night. And I was preaching, and I saw Brian walk in, and he went to Adele, my wife, and he talked to her a bit, and she went out, and then went over to somebody else, and he talked to them, and they went out, and I thought, hey, he's taken away the congregation. And I didn't know what was going to happen next. I didn't know what was happening, but what Brian was doing was he got Adele to go out and talk to this lady and her kids, and they got a feed for them and fed them, and he got this other guy who has a house available, that he keeps a little unit available for emergency housing, and they're able to get them settled into this house, and got a little bit of furniture together for them, and a feed. And you know, this lady's got a partner called Paul, and Brian went around to visit them the next afternoon, and Paul said, you know, I didn't know churches did things like this. He said, I never ever thought anything about religion or churches. I had no time for religion or churches. But I can see that churches are different. I've got a totally different idea. And you know, the whole family was at the Christmas Eve service, I've heard. We weren't there, we'd left by then, but they were all there for the Christmas Eve service. You see, that compassion shown by a couple of people, it's had an amazing effect. And the story goes on, a friend of hers has since become a Christian through that connection, and it's just an amazing thing, and who knows where God is going to take all of that. Compassion, mercy. And we need to be the sort of people, Phil Wilson and I were just talking earlier, we need to be the sort of Christians that aren't just seen going off to church with our Bibles under our arms and having all these lovely meetings and singing and going home again. We need to be seen as people who are salt and light, positively affecting our community and touching people who are in need. Compassion. Compassionate Christianity. One more. Come on. It's hiding on me. Gone to sleep. Have I got it? No. Oh, I decided to do a scan, okay? Don't you love it? Been sleeping for so long. There it is. Consistent Christians. That's what we've got to be, consistent. If we're going to be positive in our influence, we have to be consistent Christians. Now, this is consistent in the sense that what we say matches up with who we are and what we do. So we've got to be consistent in that sense. We also have to be consistent in the sense that we go on. It's not just stop-start stuff. We are consistent in our Christianity. And from day to day, as weeks go past and years go by, we remain consistent in our faith and our purpose and our direction. We continue to be salt and light, having a positive influence with those around us. That's the sort of Christianity that is positive. That's the sort of Christianity that is attractive and will draw people to the Lord Jesus. Notice at the very end of our reading, it says this, "In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." You know, the ultimate, the end result of sharing the gospel with anyone is to bring them into relationship with God, that they too will join with us and praise our Father in heaven. That's what God is wanting. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for more people who will genuinely join that great chorus of praise that echoes through this world and reaches to the throne of heaven itself, and that delights God our Father. And as we are salt and as we are light, we will bring people into touch with the Lord Jesus, who can then in turn bring them to the Father. Because that's the only way to the Father. Remember Jesus said, who knows what John chapter 14 and verse 6 says? Who knows what John 14 and 6 says? Okay, could somebody repeat the last part of that? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. And you know, we have to bring people into contact with the Lord Jesus, because that's the only way they're going to become children of God. That's the only way they're going to come to God the Father and come to know Him and praise Him. And so we have a role to play. We have a responsibility as light, as salt, to be positive Christians, a positive influence in bringing people into contact with the Lord Jesus. And during this week, in the studies and in the workshops, that's what we want to do. That's what we want to go in for. We want to look at how that can happen, how we can be more effective in really practical ways, how we can be salt and how we can be light. That is, how we can bring people to the Lord Jesus so that they can come to know God as their Father. Thank you very much. And I think Phil's going to share something. Is Phil around still? Yep. Thanks, Phil.